Welcome everybody to today's webinar. Great to have you guys on board. As you can see, I had a little bit of a croaky voice. Those that were with me over the weekend understand what actually happened. I think it's wearing out with too much use at the moment. But guys, I am really excited about next weekend coming up. We've got the US event coming up, and it's going to be in Melbourne, and it's absolutely fabulous. I'm just doing the final touches on the workbooks and other bits and pieces, so we'll be bright and early ready for all of you guys that are coming along in Melbourne at 9 o'clock on Friday. And I believe some of the guys are in the air or coming or something. We've got Jessica and Ron coming out. And today on the call, we've actually got Kathy. Kathy, are you there?
I am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I certainly can, Kathy. Great to have you here. Now, Kathy...
I hope you get your voice back before this weekend.
I do too. Otherwise, I'm going to sound like a brothel madam. But anyway, somebody challenged me on that on the weekend, and they said to me, how do you know what a brothel madam sounds like? I said, well, I'm assuming that this is what they sound like. I don't know.
TV, right?
TV, movies. Yeah. American TV. Yeah, I got to put on the accent, and I'll be right.
There you go.
Now, Kathy, you sent me an email in the last couple of hours that I actually put onto a slide before we get onto our expose of one of the markets that we haven't done before. I'm very excited about listening to what's going on in Houston. But
yeah.
There was some new exciting financing things, and I just threw that up onto a slide. Would you like to tell us what on earth is going on here? It looks good.
Well, you know, everything's changing in the U.S., and when things change, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, that when the rest of the world figures out that U.S. real estate is on sale and is the best bargain, and people come in and start buying, which is what's happening, and it's really happening in a big way with the hedge funds coming in and just buying up everything they can get their hands on. Well, what happens then is prices go up, and when prices go up, banks come back.
Yeah.
So we're going to see more and more financing. And so this financing is now available, and the terms are going to change in November. But in this moment, we have a lender who will do a minimum loan amount of $100,000. Now, this loan is not going to work for our presenter today because his properties in total are less than $100,000. So, you know, we've got a lot of properties that we've been promoting that are under that $100,000 price range because you all have had to come in with cash, right?
Yeah.
So there's more and more opportunity for financing, which means that we can get into neighborhoods that we haven't been able to get in, and we can start buying in areas like California.
So we're
actually just this month's event in California is going to be on California for the first time in probably 6 years that we've promoted California as a viable option. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're looking at properties in Oakland, California, and Sacramento, and the price points are going to be around, you know, 140 to 180. Oakland, they're going to be even higher than that. But this, you know, this is kind of an exciting thing because here's the terms for foreign nationals.
You're calling it foreign nationals now, not foreign aliens.
Yeah. No aliens, nope, not an alien, not the last time I checked.
That's what we normally get called.
I don't know, I'll leave it up to Ron and Jessica to tell me if there's any aliens there this weekend. But
I might sound like one at the moment.
Yeah, really. but yeah, 65% max LTV. Which takes us to the 150 mark. It's got to be right around, I think it's 155 for this to work, for the purchase price. It's a 30-year fixed rate. It's so exciting because you don't really get these in your country.
No.
it is, look at these rates, 6.5% to 7.5%. 3-year hard prepayment penalty means you can't get out of this loan before 3 years or you're going to pay.
Big time by the
that?
Look of it. 6 months of interest at 80% of the existing loan. Holy dooly. That's
yeah,
a pretty big penalty.
Don't sell it or refi it, but do you have those hard prepayment penalties?
We call them exit fees, and yes, we do. They're not normally quite that steep, though.
Yeah, this is a big one, and I think it's because this particular fund, just they want their money. They just want to know they're getting this return for the next 3 years.
But hey, that's okay. I mean, you know, the deal's a good deal, so why not?
Exactly. You know, it's a good deal for them, too, because they're probably borrowing it for, you know, 3%. So they're making money.
Now, you had a few other details there about it. What's this next little bit? I had to put it over two slides.
Yeah, I just said, is there a balloon? And she said, nope, it's a straight 30-year fix, which, again, is so exciting for you guys because you don't get this often. Mm. Prepayment penalty is only an upfront cost should they try to refinance or sell within 36 months, so don't do that. You can do up to four of these loans, and the buyer can have up to 20 financed properties and still qualify. This is kind of the tough part. This is the tough part for the newbies in your group. But for some of the people that have been around for a while, this might be okay. You have to have reserves held in the U.S. account for 12 months in your LLC before you can do this. So if you're just opening up your LLC, you won't get this financing, but get some money in your LLC and let it season there. Mm. And, you know, maybe there'll be some leeway on this. But either way, they want 24-month PITI, which is principal, interest, taxes, insurance, held in reserves throughout the term of the loan so that if you did run into trouble, there would be reserve funds.
Okay.
So there you have it. But, you know, she said that they're going to update the program in November, so maybe they won't be as strict on that year of seasoning because that doesn't seem, I don't know, it isn't important.
Mm, okay. Well, thank you very much for that. That's great news. And this weekend we'll be going through all of the financing options that we've got available and what that actually means. And as I say, really looking forward to seeing everybody in Melbourne this weekend. Now, Kathy, because of my voice, I might actually hand it over to you. Could you please introduce our wonderful guest? We're actually exposing Houston, Texas. So could I hand this over to you? I can still do the slides, but if you could do the rest, that would be fabulous.
Oh, yeah, you bet. And just want to let you know still that we do have a little bit of financing left in Dallas. We have some financing in Atlanta. There's still financing in those other markets. It's just going to keep evolving and changing, and we're going to try to keep you on top of that as much as we can stay on top of it because it changes pretty regularly.
Yeah, that's
okay. So let's talk about Houston, Texas. Now, you all know I've been a big fan of Texas, and we like Houston. I have up until now sort of stayed out of Houston because the property taxes have been pretty high there, insurance rates pretty high, but we found a great team that's been around, and we're real excited to show you some of the possibilities in Houston. The price points are fabulous. So let's go to the next slide.
Okay. A little bit of a disclaimer there. Do you want to go through that?
Yeah, the disclaimer is just really, again, what the strategies that we're telling you and showing you here today really may or may not be suitable for your particular circumstance, so always consult with your own accountant, your own tax advisor or attorney with your specific situation. The other thing, and this disclaimer is not on here, but always get an inspection. Please get an inspection. Don't try to save yourself $400, you know, by not getting one. It's so important to get an inspection so that you really know what you're getting and you have something to look back on to verify what you got. And usually those inspectors are certified, are insured. So, you know, our affiliates do the best job they can, but they're busy. Maybe they might miss a little something that an inspector might find. So it's just a way to support everybody in the process.
Okay, very good.
Past performance, of course, no guarantee of future results. I'm sure you go all over this with them. but, you know, we just want everybody to be happy in the end. So our guest today is Sean. He's calling in from Houston. And he is, well, Sean, let's just bring you on right now. Thanks for calling in from Houston.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How's the weather out there? No storms coming your way, I hope.
No storms. It's pretty nice. Probably low 50 and then the highs to 70s. So nice weather.
Good.
Hey, you guys are going through a huge turmoil at the moment. And it's like it's hitting as we speak, is it not? This massive storm?
Well, there is a massive, massive hurricane heading towards New York City. And they're saying an 11-foot wall of water could hit lower Manhattan or upper Manhattan. It's scary, but I'm just sitting here hoping that it just decides to turn and go back out in the ocean. But stay tuned. It's pretty serious.
Wow, and welcome, Sean. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
So Sean, tell us a little bit about your company and what you do.
Sure. My wife and I, who you can see there in the picture, we own the sales company and also the management company. We've been buying and selling houses for over 12 years now. We've personally sold over 350 properties, about $35 million worth of real estate just in Texas. And right now our management company is managing about 165 properties, and we keep growing every year, and it's been Texas has been great to us, and you know, that's why we're happy to share it with you tonight. So.
Wonderful.
Okay, so that's where we actually have Texas, for those guys over here in Australia, where we don't quite know where Houston fits in the whole big gambit of things.
Yep, there you have it. It's down there by the coast, which is nice.
Yeah, so we're, you know, just a little bit about Houston. We're the fourth largest city in the U.S., 6 million people, and our population has grown about 15% every year since 2000. We are known for our energy sector and oil and gas, but and it is a big part of our industry, and it's growing. And right now, like, just a little fact about where we invest is pretty much on the north side of Houston, if anybody's familiar with Houston. And right now, ExxonMobil is actually building a 365-acre campus on the north side, real close to where all our properties are for sale. And it's going to bring in 8,000 new jobs. It's going to be a big impact on that area of Houston. So that's going to be completed in 2015. So now's a great time to get in and see a little bit of appreciation as well, additional, just because of that Exxon deal. So, but we're also known for a lot of other things other than just energy. You know, we have the 10th largest port, the largest medical district in the world. We're renowned for cancer treatment and with MD Anderson. So, and technology. So that's not only just energy. Houston, by the numbers, like I said before, we're the fourth largest city in the U.S. We've had the number one annual job growth among the 12 largest cities in the U.S., and that was by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That just came out actually in September.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were voted the coolest city to live by Forbes in 2012.
What does that mean? Because it's really, really hot there.
More like is in the sense like it's cool or hip, but it's, you know, the biggest reason was job growth,
yeah.
Low cost of housing. Houston's very affordable. There's probably 2 months out of the year that are hot and humid, but the rest of the time, you know, we have great weather, great restaurants, entertainment. So overall, it's just a great place to live. And then, of course, it was also voted in the top 10 best cities for the future, just because of job growth, technology, medical, energy. You know, that's all those areas are keep growing every year. So.
And the one that I like is the one down the bottom there, the 10 best cities for the future. Now, if you notice the date on that, it's 2008, which is straight after the GFC. So, you know, the predictions have been good for a while there.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So.
So who's in town?
What's that?
Who's in town? Who are your biggie companies there?
So we have 160 companies. Their headquarters are here in Houston. You know, 25 of those are the Fortune 500 largest companies. So like Exxon, Shell, Chevron, NASA is also big. We didn't talk about it's shrunk a little bit recently, but it still employs a lot of people. The medical center. Continental, HP, just a couple.
Okay, this is just, we couldn't fit them all on the page, but these are just some of the big ones that you recognize.
And you've, as usual, you got a big sporting contingent as well, huh?
Yeah, so pretty much a professional team in almost every area of sports. And if you're into golf, you can pretty much golf, you know, all year round. a little warm in the summer, but it's still nice. Most people don't know this, but we have a 17-block theater district, and it's only second to New York. So if you're into the arts and music, there's a lot to see. We saw Lion King actually with my son a couple weeks ago, and so it's pretty neat. He really got into it. And we also have the number one total acreage of parkland. So Houston's huge. It's 600 square miles. So it covers a large area. A lot of that's made up of parkland and outdoor activity you can do. And then, like we mentioned before, we're only 50 miles from the coast in the Gulf of Mexico. So we usually have to experience the hurricanes and do all that. But
guys are usually in the headlines.
Yeah, but I think we're more prepared for it than New York is. And
Oh, man. Well, the difference is New York is right on the water. At least you guys have a little cushion there.
Yeah. So just a little bit about us. Like I said before, we've been doing business for over 12 years. We buy and sold over 350 homes. Currently, we are buying about 6 to 8 properties per month and rehabbing them and leasing them and selling them. Right, like before I said, 165 homes under management in our management company. 35 of those are owned by my wife and I personally. Just a little bit about our property management company. We are part of Real Property Management, which is the largest residential property management company in the country, and we own the Houston franchise. Real Property Management's been on the Inc. 500's fastest growing companies for the last 3 years, so it's been a good experience. We got great systems, great training, and much larger company behind us.
Sean, this is something that as Australians we are always cautious of in the US because the regulations and the rules don't seem to be quite what we consider to be normal over here. Can you talk a little bit more about that and your franchise and what that actually means and perhaps some of the systems and processes that you have over there, because what we're seeing out of the States generally, not obviously yours, but generally, it's very different from state to state, and it's not
changing.
What it is here. Really? What's happening?
Well, this group that we're very excited to pursue a little further what this group is, but they've really... Well, Sean, let me have you explain it since you understand. You know, you're working with them, but they're really finding a way to nationalize it, aren't
That's
they?
That's great.
Yeah, they are. So yeah. just to let you know, Real Property Management has been able to figure it out to do it on a larger scale. Even so that we manage all of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Chase, Wells Fargo, all of their property. They've done two things. They've done kind of a pilot program where they're testing, maybe keeping some properties and holding them for 5 years, and so they've allowed us to manage those. And then some of the other things is when they foreclosed on a property and taken it back and there's a tenant in place, they have to honor that lease agreement, and we come in and manage the property for the U.S. government and all these big banks. So, but they've been able to figure it out. A franchise, just like a Subway, McDonald's, any of those, we purchase the right to license and use their name and also their systems. So some of the systems are the accounting. It's done by an accounting firm, not just in-house. So we are audited every month. We, so that the books are straight. There's no commingling of funds. So it's a better system for the investor and to know that they have a reliable company behind them, not just somebody decide one day to start a property management company.
Is there actually a licensing requirement in the U.S. now? Is it coming in? Is it muted?
We're licensed in a brokerage with the state of Texas, so it's still state by state. We have to be licensed with the state, but there's no additional. There's some training that's required for the franchise, property management training, but nothing like a national, other than your regular realtor Board of Realtors training.
So if I went over there to Houston and said, okay, I'm going to do property management, could I just start up property management, or would I have to register or be licensed in some way?
You'd have to be licensed in some way, or you'd have to have a, you'd have to also be a broker. You can't just, unless, you have to be, everybody that's licensed has to be working under a broker. And my wife's the broker of our company.
Okay, so, which is a real estate broker.
That's correct.
Yeah, which is like a real estate agent.
Yeah, and that's just Texas, yeah.
Yeah, and because you can, in other states, you don't, maybe don't need all those licenses, so Texas tends to be a little stricter.
And that's a good thing. Hey, we're liking everything you're saying there. What are the fees for management?
Our fees are 9%. Mm-hmm. All our properties come leased with the tenant in place when you purchase the property. So you're not going to incur any lease-up fees or anything like that up front. Now, our average tenant stays 2.5 years in the property, so after maybe a couple years, tenant moves out, we charge 75% of 1 month's rent as our lease-up fee. In Texas, if you were just to hire a realtor or anybody to lease your property, they would charge you about 1 full month's rent, and we're at 75%.
Okay.
Just something about that 9%, you'll see the prices range. We're in the middle. What we think we do better than a lot of other companies is we do quarterly inspections. So we'll go on your property every 3 months and make sure the tenant's complying with the lease, keeping up the property. They don't have a bunch of people living in the home, or pets that weren't disclosed up front. So we're keeping track of their property and not just reacting to problems. We're trying to be proactive.
And how long on average would your tenants stay? Do you have some figures on that?
Yeah, about 2.5 years.
2.5 years.
So in our average, our average family is husband and wife, 2 to 3 kids. So that's our average tenant. So. Something or some values that we believe in and what I believe in is you invest where the jobs are. So, you want to be in a market that's growing, not declining, because you can guarantee, not guarantee, but you can make sure you're going to get your returns that you were promised. The homes stay rented. You're going to experience an increase in rental income every year. We do 12-month leases. Just the reason we do that is because we like to increase the rent after every 12 months. So, I also believe in cash flow. I think it's crucial, not just investing for appreciation. Something with Houston is we don't have a rapid appreciation like a lot of other markets, but we're stable and consistent. You'll see probably a 3% appreciation every year, but we have solid positive cash flow month after month, and so it's stable. If you want to invest in a stable, secure as you can get market, I think Houston's a good bet for you. So, and then go back to what you talked about earlier, the property management. It's the most important part of this whole turnkey business. You want to have a company that's going to be taking care of your property like it was their own, and watching after your property and staying on top of the tenants, and alongside the systems with our management company is across the board, we kind of manage our properties the same. We rent's due on the first, late after the third, 3-day notices to vacate go out on the fifth, evictions are filed on the 12th. So it's a system, everything we do, so you can count on that we're going to be staying on top of it, and our office is all trained with those systems.
Yeah.
And we provide exceptional customer service. We are not the largest management company, but if you call, we're gonna return your call within 24 hours. If you ever have to leave a message, 90% of the time you're going to get somebody live. And we try to return all emails within 24 hours so that, if you have any questions or any concerns, we're always there for you guys. So,
okay.
So our promise, what we will guarantee, we guarantee that for the first 12 months, occupancy and rental income. So if we should have any trouble with our tenants, we pick up the rental payments. So for the first 12 months, you'll be guaranteed that income. That's just a standby that we're not just putting anybody in your homes just to fill them to get a sale, that we stand by who we put in these homes. And then we do also offer a 12-month home warranty contract with American Home Shield. And as part of our management, you know, we call the home warranty company if there's any maintenance repairs during those first 12 months. And you can renew that, you know, if you want every year. But for the first 12 months, we cover that at closing.
Is that something you would recommend?
To renew it?
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt at all. Now, the rates change after 12 months. They go up a little bit, but we'll go over that with our client if they want to do that around the 11th, 12th month and see if they want to renew. So a little bit about our properties. What you're going to find here in Houston and our price point is our average square footage is about 1,600 square feet. They're either one-story or two-story homes. They're three-bedroom to four-bedroom homes, one-and-a-half to two bathrooms. The average price point is the $73,500. We have, I think, our lowest house we've ever had is in the 50s, and the highest one has been like 104, but the majority are going to be about $73,500. The rent we receive is about $1,025. The cash purchase returns is around 10%, just shy of 10% is our average. And then leverage purchase returns around 25%. That's if you go conventional, if you're a U.S. buyer, you know, putting 20% down. So,
do you have any financing for foreigners?
Right now, only with Peak. So we've been using, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but the points are a little bit higher. I think the interest rate is 8.25%.
Mm-hmm.
They're 30-year mortgages. But they have the first 3 years are fixed, and then they adjust every year after that, so it's an adjustable rate. And it's 50% down payment.
Okay.
So yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same if you've learned about the Kansas City one, it's the same bank.
Mm-hmm. So 50% down, 30-year mortgage,
mm-hmm.
Interest rate at, what'd you say, 8.5% or something?
8.25%.
8.25%. And that's pretty good, really. I mean, you know, compared to having nothing, it's good.
Yeah.
So it's an option for some people. So.
Okay. Well, it means you can buy double and get the growth.
Yep.
Yeah. So these are just some examples, some inventory. The pictures you're seeing are before rehab. We move our property so quickly that right now the houses we're rehabbing are all sold. So if you were to secure a house, we'd ask for $3,000 earnest money to secure it and sign the contract. Once the house has been rehabbed, we order the home inspection and termite inspection, and then once you receive those reports, you have 7 days to decide, do your due diligence and make sure it's, you know, what you wanted, and then go from there. So, and then we start marketing it for lease, and then you close once the property is leased and ready to go. But this is a house in Spring. This is where I told you, close to where the ExxonMobil's doing their campus. It's on the north side of Houston. It's just shy of 1,500 square feet, a three-bedroom, two-bath, $73,500. The rent is $1,000 a month in this property. The cash flow, that's, again, if you more conventional financing, so the 20% down. For like a U.S. buyer. Cash on cash return on this one, though, is 10.69. So it's a good return. And then the leverage return, again, if you were a conventional buyer, it'd be about 21.29%.
So I want to mention something about inventory, Sean, because it is really a different market today than it was just a few months ago and definitely from last year. Inventory has become very difficult for everyone and anyone to get because hedge funds, you know, everybody's figured out our little secret, Dibna. Everybody knows now.
Yeah.
And, And so it's difficult. So I want to let you know, if you see anything you like, that you should let Sean know right away, because it will likely be gone very soon. And that's kind of always been the case, but it's more so now than ever.
Usually from the time we start marketing property, within that week, they're gone, all of them. So it's kind of, it's like we're trying to refresh weekly the inventory. So.
Yeah, I mean, what has changed so much in your market? Is it the hedge funds or just everybody?
More everybody. Yeah, we got just smaller investors that, you know, are jumping in and buying property, and they'll, of course, pay a lot more than what we can deliver to our investors. So we want to give you the best prices, and so they'll pay, you know, way too much for the property, and they're outbeating us to them. So.
And that's what's really happening. That's what's the challenge is that these hedge funds and kind of inexperienced investors, or not investors, people, are driving prices up because they're willing to pay more than we investors like to pay. But they're changing the game, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And we don't just buy anything. We buy, you know, these are good areas. They're not war zone type of, you know, I don't, whatever, put my investors in those areas. And I purchase all these properties myself. So if I would never buy a property that I'm not willing to hold long term. So, you know, it's getting harder and harder to find the, you know, the good solid homes in good rental markets, good areas, anymore today. Yeah. So. The next one.
Sorry. I didn't know whether there was another one to come or not.
the next one is in Porter, Texas. It's on the northeast side of town. It's very similar to the one we just saw. It's a 1460 square foot, three bedroom, two bath, $70,000, so a little bit less. The rent is a little bit higher, $1,050, but if you look at the return, it's about the same. The reason why, as Kathy was mentioning earlier, Houston and Texas has a very high property tax. You know, it's around 3% to 3.2% on a lot of properties, so it's pretty high. And then, of course, we have high insurance deductibles because we are so close to the coast. You know, just hurricane threats and all that. Insurance-wise, it's a little bit higher. But one thing that, just a little side note, we protest the taxes for investors every year. So we do that between January and about May, June, is when we get to protest. And we use a third-party company that does it for all our clients. But the taxes that you see right now are the returns are what it is right now. But we've been able to see lowering the taxes anywhere from $400 to $800 per property per year on the property taxes by protesting them. And what we've done is the company that protests them for us, he gets the value of the home that the tax assess use to value the property and charge the taxes on. He uses the value that we are buying them from the bank as a foreclosure. So, you know, it's significantly lower than what it is currently right now. So just a side note that, you know, it gets better. The cash flow actually your second year is better because of the lower property taxes.
Tell me, the cash flow per month you've got there, is that just taking into account your property tax and other bits and pieces, or does that take into account Americans' borrowing capacities and other things?
That's where that is. It is including taxes and insurance, but it's based on Americans getting traditional financing, so 20% down, 5% interest rate, 30-year mortgage. That's where that number comes in.
So that $435 is before or after they've paid interest on an American loan for the month?
It's including the interest and taxes, and so it's PITI.
Okay, so that figure doesn't mean a whole lot to us. We would be looking at, say, that $1,000 coming in and going, okay, well, what's property taxes and insurance?
Correct.
And what? Give me a ballpark figure that we'd be looking at for that.
For this property, get my calculator. I don't have that property in front of me, but...
just roughly, I mean, so we know kind of what kind of figures we're looking at.
On that property, I think the taxes are $2,700 a year, so about $225 a month in taxes.
And insurance?
Is $1,000 a year, so about $83.
So say $300 had come off that $1,000 as your operating expenses for the month. Would that be that right?
That's correct. Plus, and then you'd have to factor the management fee of 90, a little over 9%. So $94 for the management fee.
Okay, so we'll call it $400. Yeah.
And then, yes, and then every home that's that most investors aren't used to is all the houses we buy in are in subdivisions that have a homeowners association. And they range anywhere from $200 to about $400 a year. So I think that one, it's, I believe it's...
Worst case scenario would be 30-something.
Yeah, $25 on that one.
Okay, so we're still around that 400, 420 maybe at the worst case, because I added a bit, each time you said a figure, I added a bit to it. So
sure.
So that, say, $600, $650, something like that that we're looking at, we've got to think, okay, well, that's our, say it was 650 times 12, gives us 7,800, which is where you get that 10 point, whatever it is, percent return on the $70,000, yeah?
Yes, correct.
And then if we have any borrowing in Australia where we've borrowed the money to take it across, we have to take that into account. Or if we were able to get the 50% financing, obviously, then that takes into account. So it just gives people an idea of what, you know, their net cash flow is going to be depending on their circumstances.
Sure.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. And now, the Homeowner Association, just so you know, includes usually... the entrance into the subdivision, and then they manage that and keep it up and put flowers and stuff like that. And then there's usually a recreational facility like a pool and a playground for the community. And that's where that homeowner association. But they do also monitor, and so if the tenant were to let the grass go or something like that, you know, they're going to send a letter and have them comply and make sure they're keeping up the cutting the grass, those kind of things. So.
Okay. I've got a question here that's come in from Willie, and the question says, what is the recommended course of action when an affiliate is not ready to, which is, I guess, more for Kathy than Sean, when it is not ready to close by the contract closing date, the property needed rehab prior to closing. Closing will just be put off, won't it?
Yeah, it depends what market you're in. Most of the affiliates... you don't close on the property till it's finished. And sometimes things happen and it takes longer. But in Pittsburgh and St. Louis, I think it's a little bit different. So in Pittsburgh, you actually purchase the property and they rehab it while you already own it. That is a riskier deal because it can take longer. And meanwhile, you already own the property. So that's just a risk people are willing to take because the cap rates are pretty good in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But with everyone else, you know, with Sean, I mean, Sean, what would happen if somebody put their deposit down, you know, what is it, a $3,000 earnest deposit? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
Yeah, so, and you give them an estimated time of closing, but it might sometimes be longer than that, right?
Correct, yeah. If it's on my part or a financing part with one of our vendors that we refer you to for financing, then obviously, yeah, we're going to extend it, the closing date, so...
Yeah,
and they have up until you know, they have 7 days to do their due diligence after the property has been rehabbed, and they have their inspection reports, and then during that time after we're rehabbing it, we're marketing it for lease, and so you know, only 2-3 weeks after it's done rehab, we can close on the property.
Okay, another question's come in here about this particular property. Somebody's on the line and they've just obviously done a search on it. And I've got the previous previous list price on this property. And they just wondered what rehab's actually been done on the property.
Nothing yet. We haven't touched it yet. So the pictures you guys are seeing are before rehab. So the listing that they're seeing is where I bought it from as a foreclosure.
Yep.
So we're going to go in there, replace the garage door, repaint the whole house inside and out, repair the roof. We seal all the penetrations and vents and all that. We tile the entire home except for the bedrooms. We do a nice 18-inch tile that flows really house. So we do the whole house, so that will last, after each tenant turnaround. We only put brand new carpet in the bedrooms. We update the kitchens and bathrooms. We replace all the electrical fixtures or electrical outlets, switches. We replace all the plumbing fixtures. We replace the hot water heater. We update the HVAC system. There's a lot of updates. So around $12,000 to $15,000 worth.
And people wouldn't. They don't buy it until all that stuff's done. Like, they don't close on it until all that stuff's done.
That's correct. Yeah.
And
so once that's done, and we don't even do our inspections until it's done, and then they get their inspection report. And if there's any, safety problems or anything that comes up on the inspection report, we're obviously going to address those and take care of them. We even do stuff after the inspection report to. If there's something that we missed or maybe just something that the inspector found that we didn't see. So.
Okay. And they can, if they've already come back to Australia and don't want to go back and be there for closing, which they're quite entitled to do, they could have an independent building inspector go through and all the rest of it, yeah?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So we refer one, but they're welcome to hire anybody they would like.
Okay. Good. That answers that question. Kathy, did you want to say any more on that? Because I don't have any other questions that have come through on the screen.
Well, I think I don't know how many of the listeners are going to get to make it to this weekend, but boy, you've got 3 days of questions and answers there. But we hope that if you could come out sooner than later, that's great. I know we're moving into our winter and your summer, so... You want to enjoy some cool weather? Come on over.
How do you think that will affect the markets, Kathy, with the winter months coming on? Is it a little bit more of an opportunity for Australians, perhaps, because there's less American buyers poking around? Because you're busy having, what do you call it? No, what's the November one? Thanksgiving.
Yeah, at least we've got Thanksgiving in a month, and then we've got Christmas and then New Year, and it's cold and...
And you've got elections,
places.
Too.
And we've got elections, yeah. I mean, I'm hearing from some people that it is getting a little bit better and there's more inventory than there was over the summer because, summer is traditionally the time that everybody likes to buy. But I don't know that that'll be the case. I have heard, and I don't know if Sean will agree with me, I have heard that some of the banks are going to unload properties before the end of the year for tax purposes. So maybe there'll be more inventory in the next month or so, which would be good.
Yeah. We usually have increased inventory in November and December for those two reasons. Number one is the just regular somebody, or either homeowners or just somebody that's buying maybe one investment property or something like that. They're distracted. There's a lot going on in the next couple of months, so there's not as many buyers out there. And then second is banks are willing to wheel and deal more more negotiable during the next couple of months, so we're able to pick up more property just so that they can, but you have to close them all by the end of the year just for tax purposes. So it does help the next couple of months, so you will see an increase in our inventory. I don't know how big it will be, but it does help.
Okay. So, yeah, we're moving into a good couple of months for buying. Then January, January tends to be slow as well for the rest of the world, again, because it's cold. But then we're going to be moving into the spring when, everybody's back in the market. So the next few months should be good.
Very good. Okay, well, thank you, Sean, for that and sharing, some properties and what they look like, and congratulations on that the property management stuff, because, it's got to come. It really, compared to, every second real estate agent over here has a property management arm, to go into the States and going, oh my God, nobody has property management, or it's difficult to get property management. So, congratulations on that. It's a good thing to see the trend changing in that department.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of companies that are really setting the standard in real property management. When I initially heard about them, I wasn't really that excited because it just sounded like a franchise and, I didn't know much more about it. But then I spoke with the owner last month at one of the real estate events for Personal Real Estate Investor Magazine, and I was very impressed with him and the standards that they've created that the franchisees have to abide by. Plus, you've got all the support of this national company to help with, what are normally mom-and-pop businesses, like Sean having to go and deal with certain rules and regulations that he's just, he's busy out managing and buying properties. He doesn't have time for those kinds of things. So they've got the umbrella company over them to help them.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
They've been a great resource. They, even the training to our employees, everything is there for us. So it helps us as owners go and do our business and do what we need to and not have to, spend so much time inventing and training and coming up with manuals and all that. So it's kind of nice. So with the management.
Now, Kathy, is there anything that you think is going to change in the property market as a result of the elections?
Not really. Everybody hopes that the new president's going to change everything, and we haven't seen that happen yet. Everybody blames this crisis on Obama, but it happened before Obama, and, now they think if they bring a Republican back in, it just doesn't matter who's in office. We have to work together, both parties, to fix things and to basically improve the economy. And I would like to share something that's really exciting that I don't know if Ron or Jessica will have a chance to talk about this weekend, but I just won an award by Goldman Sachs as one of the country's top 100 most intriguing entrepreneurs.
Hey, that's cool.
It was really cool. Yeah, I was invited to probably the most lavish event by Goldman Sachs in Laguna Beach, and it was 3 days where we met with President Bill Clinton and Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, the CEO of Netflix and the founder of AOL, and it just goes on and on and on, the people that I had the opportunity to meet with and be honored by. And I just kept saying, why am I invited to this? It was major leaders, industry leaders in every field, and they chose me in the real estate field because of the work that we're doing in cleaning up the foreclosure crisis. And they just thought it was so great that we've been encouraging people to get in and buy, fix up these neighborhoods and buy the properties and enjoy cash flow while cleaning up this problem. And Condoleezza Rice said, it's a matter of national security that our economy is back. And so, when you see companies like Goldman Sachs putting this kind of energy and time in supporting small business and support, that's what has to happen. And I hope that that's the trend that will continue no matter who takes the presidency. And I think they have to know that. That's the only way that that we can turn it around.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so everything we've been saying along the year, Kathy, is get on your bike. Got to get over there and make it happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I just want to give you kudos again for doing something that was really scary. I think you were possibly the first I know of from the Australian side saying it's time to get into the U.S. when every headline said don't do it. Every headline said, oh boy, California housing, U.S. housing's a mess, and it's going to keep going down in value, and on and on, and all the scary headlines, and you encouraged it anyway, and people listened to you anyway, and those people, the people that you sent the first year, no one's ever going to see prices like that again. That was phenomenal. And each year since, prices have been going up steadily. Still not bad at all. It's still historically low, but the tides are turning.
Yeah. Get on your bike. That's my big message. Thank you,
yep.
Sean, for coming on. You did a great job there and letting us share in your hometown and what it means to be there and everything else and for looking after all my guys over there.
Sounds great. We look forward to working with you guys.
Okay. Thank you very much. And thanks, Kathy, again. And I'll look after Ron and Jessica for you.
Well, wonderful. And, you know, I just want to let people know you might want to take a plane instead of a bike. Might be easier.
There's a bit of water in between.
There's a little bit of water, yeah. Get on a plane. All right, well, I wish I could be there this weekend, but you'll be in obviously great hands with Ron and Jess.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Kathy, and thank you, Sean, and bye for now, everybody. We'll catch you on the weekend if you're going to be there, and if not, I'll be on the webinar in a month, and hopefully my voice will be a little bit better.
Yes, I hope so. Get some rest.
Okay, guys. Bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.